Excellent. And we are very much looking forward, Jonathan, to what you have to share with us this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, for the kind words of welcome. It's lovely to be back again in Westside Baptist Church. I was going to call it West Park. I don't know where I got that from. But brilliant to be with you. And thank you just for the warm welcome. And it's great that you've got so many children in your churches. And that's so encouraging. And we do love them all for the Lord's sake. We do pray that God will save them while they're young. And we pray that God will move powerfully in their lives. But it's brilliant to be here. And it's lovely to be enjoying fellowship with you all. We're going to go to God's Word. If you have a Bible, let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we've just been finishing a building project in our church. And while we've been doing that, we've been working our way through the book of Nehemiah. And I want to read to you some verses from Nehemiah chapter 8, please, if you have a Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8, please. And we're going to start at the very first verse of the chapter. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's read God's truth together. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Then go to verse 5, please. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. They bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send someone to those who have nothing to prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Here in Nehemiah chapter 8, this remarkable man of God called Nehemiah has been motivating, challenging under God, God's people to remember, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it certainly hasn't been an easy task for God's servant Nehemiah. He has faced, if we read these early chapters, he has faced one obstacle after another obstacle after another obstacle. But if you go back in your Bibles to chapter 6, verse 15, we see at last its mission accomplished. Look at verse 15 of chapter 6. So the wall was completed in the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. So we come now in chapter 8 to what might be called a natural division in this amazing book of Nehemiah. Let me put it like this. In the first 6 or 7 chapters, the book is all about the reconstruction of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. In chapters 7 through to 13, the book is all about the reconstruction of the people of God who were living in the city of Jerusalem. Or let me put it like this. In the first 6 or 7 chapters, it's all about the outward. In the last part of the book, it's all about the inward. You see, folks, even in that, there's a mighty spiritual lesson for us this morning. We can come together on the Lord's Day and we can have the outward all sussed out. And yet, what about our hearts? What about the inward? We can prepare ourselves outwardly to encounter the living God through the sacrifice of a son in worship. But what about preparing our hearts to meet with the Lord? The outward was finished. The walls of Jerusalem had been rebuilt. But there was a spiritual vacuum that needed to be filled by the God of heaven. And the message of this book is that God not only rebuilds walls, but he rebuilds the lives of people. And let me say today, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are a work in progress, aren't we? And that work started the very moment the Lord graciously saved us. And that work in progress will carry on until that day when the Lord takes us home to heaven, when at last God's people will be perfect. But this morning I want to look specifically at these 10 or 11 verses here at the start of Nehemiah chapter 8. Because what we see here is something that I find so encouraging. What we see here, I want to simply call a hunger for God's word. A revival of a hunger for God's word. We all know that in biblical history, God moved in revival blessing. We all know that in the history of the nations, God moved in powerful revival blessing. And when God moves in revival, often there are two distinct characteristics. There's an undiluted preaching of God's truth, and there's a response from the people of God in simple, clear obedience. An undiluted preaching and teaching of God's truth and a simple obedience to that truth. And we see here in Nehemiah chapter 8, both of these characteristics very, very clearly. Let me unpack this passage under four headings this morning. I believe if we're to get back to the Bible, there must be four things happen. Here's the first thing. There's a hunger for the word. A hunger for the word. Look at the very first verse of the chapter. This is amazing stuff. Look at it. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their town, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Folks, you cannot miss it. The people of God in Nehemiah chapter 8 were hungry spiritually. And let me show you this morning just how hungry spiritually they in fact were. Here's the first thing I want you to see. They asked for the word of God. They asked for the word of God. Did you notice in verse 1 it says, they told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses. Folks, that is spiritual appetite. That is spiritual hunger. That is a dream to any pastor, any Bible teacher, any minister of God's truth, to the people of God to come to him and say, listen, would you bring out the word of God? Would you teach us more of the word of God? There was a cry that came from the people. And what was the cry that came from the people? Bring us the word of God. Bring us the word of God. We are living in days in Ireland when in churches there's cries coming from people about all manner of things. People seem to say to us today, well, if we have more of this, more of that, more of the other in church life, then we will have successful churches. I want to say, if we had more hunger and more appetite for the word of God, then we would have more blessing in our churches. But who was this guy, Ezra? Well, Ezra was a scribe. He was a priest. He was a scholar. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 gives us some insights into him. It says, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observation of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel." As I have read and reread Nehemiah chapter 8, I want us to see, and I'm convinced of this, that this was a spontaneous gathering. There was no invitations sent out. There was no public meeting, public notice sent out. It says there in verse 1, they gathered as one man. These people were so hungry spiritually for the truth that they asked that God's word be brought out. Now let me just stop here this morning, and I want to ask you, if you're a Christian, I want to talk to you about your spiritual appetite. How is your spiritual appetite this morning? Just to be alone with God and His Word. Are you having that experience, that thrill, that joy each day of being alone with the Word of God? These people asked for the Word. The second thing I want us to see about this hunger that they had was they couldn't get enough of God's Word. Look at verse 3. Ezra read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Do you know how long that was? That was 6 hours. From daybreak till noon, Ezra read the word of God to them. Now, I'm not giving your pastor any ideas, but can you imagine what would happen in the average church in Ireland today if the service went on for 6 hours? Can you imagine the number of people who would be looking at their watches? Can you imagine the number of ladies who would be panicking about the dinner burning? Can you imagine the number of people who might nod off and have to be nudged with somebody's elbow? I've had the privilege of preaching in other parts of the world, and I have to say, I've been in Iraq recently. And if our services in Macrofelt last about an hour and 10 minutes, and I can see some people when I go over that starting to look at their watches. But in Iraq and other parts of the world, brothers and sisters, there's a hunger. 3 hours, and they want more and more and more. George Muller read through God's word over 200 times in his life. How hungry are we for the Word of God? How many of us this morning on the Lord's Day, before we came to this time of public worship, how many of us have taken time to read God's Word? How many of us will read God's Word this week? John Bunyan said, "I was never out of my Bible." Have you got a healthy spiritual appetite for the Word of God? Can you not get enough of the Word of God? Job 23 verse 12 says, "I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my daily bread." If you are ill and you go to your doctor, what does the doctor say to you? He says to you, "How's your appetite?" I want to say evangelicalism in Ireland today is ill. We have lost our appetite for the Word of God. 6 hours, Ezra read the Word of the Lord to them. There was a hunger for the Word. That was the first thing. The second thing is, and it leads on naturally, I want you to see this as well, there was a hearing of the Word. Now let your eye drop down the passage to verse 3. It says in verse 3, he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. And all the people, notice this, the NIV says, listened attentively to the book of the law. Listened attentively. You see, people sit in churches and they think, that pastors and ministers cannot see. Folks, we can see clearly how people are listening to God's word. They listened attentively. Let me use the phrase, there was a holy hush. You could hear a pin drop. They were listening to the word of God. And somehow I feel we've lost that in our churches. We're so distracted by other things. Our minds wander here, there, and yonder. These folks were listening attentively to God's word. Do we do that Lord's Day by Lord's Day by Lord's Day? Do we listen attentively to God's word? But not just publicly. What about our private reading of God's word? How often, maybe I'm different than other people, but how often I have my quiet time in the morning and then I go into the day and I think, now what were those verses about that I read this morning? Am I the only person that struggles with that? We need to give more attention to the word of God. We need to come wanting God to speak, wanting God to do business with us through his truth. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the writer says, We have many things to say to you, but you are dull of hearing. Or Zechariah 7, verse 11, God says, but they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. These folks listened attentively to the work of the Lord. In Madras in India, in the 1940s, there was a great revival. And one of those amazing accounts of that revival goes like this. Let me read you these words. One evening during the monsoon season, the skies were dark and threatening, and we thought it would be necessary to go outside the church because so many people gathered to hear God's word that the church could not contain them. After prayer, a brother began to preach, during which suddenly it started to rain very heavily. People just sat on the ground in the pouring rain. They were soaked to the skin, but they sat there attentively listening to God's saving word, unquote. That is a hunger. That is attentively listening to God's word. There was a hunger for the word. There was a hearing of the word. Let me share with you a third thing in this passage. There was an honoring of the word. An honoring of the word. Look at verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people stood up. Now, what is happening in verse 5? Try and picture the scene. Here is Ezra, the scribe, the servant of God. He wants to open God's word. And as he opens God's word, the whole congregation, all the people who are gathered there, they stand to their feet. What is happening? Let me quote to you one commentator called Kent Hughes. He says these words, "They rose in reverence and obvious respect for the truth. They gave it a royal reception. Their posture declared how their hearts felt about God's word." I remember a number of years ago being in Romania with William Smiley, and I think William Smiley has spoken at this convention as well down here. And in Romania, when you read God's word, straight away, when I was there anyway, straight away the people stood as a sign of reverence and respect to listen to God's truth, to honor God's truth. But will you notice something else they did? Look at verse 6. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." You see, when a Hebrew stood, lifting up his hands with his hands like that, as they did in verse 6, they were making a gesture to God. What they were saying was this. They were saying, "God, I am empty-handed. God, I have nothing to bring, and everything I have comes from you. Now, do we come to God's word with that sort of attitude? Do we honor God's word? Do we come and do we say in our hearts, Lord, my heart is empty. Lord, I'm running on spiritual empty. Lord, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I'm craving your truth today. One of the things that humbled me so much when I was in Iraq was, and one evening in one of their church services, there was a vast crowd of people there. And we were praising God, and I had literally nowhere I felt I could put my Bible. And I set my Bible on the floor. And I noticed one brother in Christ very humbly and graciously reached down and picked the Bible off the floor and set it in the chair. And that humbled me. And I thought, you know, there's an honor for God's word. It's not like any other book. It's God's inspired word. It's God's infallible word. There's an honor and a respect for the word of God. There was a hunger for the word. There was a hearing of the word. There was an honoring of the word. And fourthly, there was a heeding of the word. Look what happened. Look at verse 9. Do not mourn or weep, Ezra says, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord. Firstly, I want you to see that they were so obedient to God's word that they wept. They wept as they listened to God's word. And I need to ask myself today this heart-searching question. And you need to ask yourself today this question. When did we last weep? In response to God's word. When did God's word last so convict me, so challenge me, so stir me as a believer that I said, Lord, this is an area of inconsistency. This is an area where I'm out of line with your word. And Lord, I'm guilty. And it moved me to tears. When did that last happen in your life? Wouldn't it be amazing some Lord's Day as the pastor, the minister, opens up God's word and starts to preach God's word that there was just a weeping. A weeping as believers get right with God. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Romans 3 verse 20 says, through the law we become conscious of sin. When did God's word last convict you, my brother, my sister? We're very good, and please keep praying it, but we're very good at praying, Lord, convict the sinners. Convict the lost people. But do we dare to pray, Lord, convict me? Lord, challenge me. Lord, cut me to the heart. Lord, awaken me today through your truth. A.W. Tozer said these words, the Bible was written in tears, and to tears it yields its best treasure. Isn't that lovely? The Bible was written in tears, and to tears it yields its best treasure. There was tears, but I want you to notice something else that there was. There was also joy. Look at verse 10. This day is sacred to our Lord, Ezra says. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, these people, their children and their grandchildren had been brought up in exile in Babylon. They didn't have God's law for a long, long time. And now they were hearing God's law again. And Ezra was saying to them in verse 10, listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to say to you today, When we start to move out in obedience to God's word, when we are serious about obeying what God says to us on Lord's Day and put it into practice, then God will give us the strength to obey his word. Listen to this lovely little verse in 3 John. It says these words, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth." I want to ask you today, child of God here in this church, are you walking in truth? That brings joy to the heart of your pastor, but let me tell you, that brings joy to the heart of God when we walk in the truth. What an amazing day that must have been. 6 hours. And you know, if you read this passage again and again, you'll discover that it happened for a whole week. A whole week. Oh, you're sitting here and you're saying today, well, you know, I wouldn't have 6 hours to spend. I wouldn't have 6 hours to spare. But you know, we all find time to do the things that we think are important in our lives. I want to challenge you today. How much time do you give to television compared to your Bible? How much time do you give to the local newspaper compared to your Bible? Why not fast from television for a while to get to know your Bible and ultimately your God and your Savior better? I believe we need to get back to our Bibles. And yes, just like Nehemiah's day, when we get back to our Bibles, there'll be a hunger for the Word. There'll be a hearing of the word. There'll be an honoring of the word. And there'll be a heeding of the word. I wonder, when did God's word last move you? I'm not asking, when did you last shake your pastor's hand and say, that was a good word this morning. It's a pity Mrs. Smith wasn't here to hear it. And my apologies to you if you're Mrs. Smith. I'm talking about you and I getting real with God. When did we last go home from public worship to do business with God in light of what God has said? When did we last go home from public worship to write a letter to say sorry to somebody whom we have wronged? When did we last go home from public worship to make restitution, to sort a situation out in light of what God has said? That's heeding God's word. That's sanctification, I believe. That's Christianity lived out the way God wants us to live out our Christianity today. Are you hungry? I'm not talking about your lunch. Are you hungry for the word of God? As I close, I'm convinced that the word of God is very much like prayer. You know, when we neglect prayer, the appetite for it goes. Have you noticed that? And yet the more you pray, the greater your appetite becomes for prayer. And it's the same with the word of God. When we neglect the word of God, our appetite for it disappears. And yet the more we feed our souls in the word of God, the more appetite we get for the word of God. Let me finish by reading to you a quotation from one of my spiritual heroes, Robert Murray McShane. And he describes the attention the people gave to the word of God during the revival he saw in Dundee in 1839. Listen to this. He says, "I've observed at times an awful and breathless stillness pervading the assembly, each hearer bent forward in the posture of rapt attention. If somebody stood here some Lord's Day and said, listen, I've got some gossip for you, listen up, there would be a hush go across the building. This is the very word of the living God. And we need to listen with a holy hush and respond in obedience to what the God of heaven is condescending to say to us. Brothers and sisters, will you pray for me? Will you pray that I'll get more hungry for the word? And I pray that you as a fellowship will get more and more hungry for God's word. Let us pray together. Father, we're just so aware that at times we just seem to have so little appetite for the word of God. Father, so often we come to times of public worship to hear and to respond to your word. And Lord, we look at our watch and we measure a good message by its length. And Father, we're so sorry for that. And yet, Lord, we've just seen in the days of Nehemiah how people listened to God's word for 6 hours. Oh God, we pray that you will give us a deeper hunger, a greater appetite, a greater thirst for your truth. And Father, not just to listen to your truth, but to obey your truth as well. And Lord, I do not know today how you're applying your word right now by your Spirit. But Father, as we go from this place, if there's issues that need to be sorted, if there's things that need to be said, if there's apologies that need to be offered, I pray today, Lord God, that we will not just be hearers, but I pray today that we will be doers also of the word of the living God. Oh God, bless your people here in this fellowship and make them more and more hungry for the word of God. In the Savior's mighty name we pray. Amen.